Dr. Fauci, please help us with the mask situation. I know we're told we can wear it outside. We don't have to wear it outside, but I'm telling you, I was in New York, where I live, walking down the street. I just stopped a random lady, and I said, have you been vaccinated? She said, yes. I said, me too. Why are we wearing our mask? She goes, I don't know.
Well, it's because you're liberals. Any questions? You can't wait to submit, be subservient to. Then they smashed some windows on a storefront and looted the place. Interestingly enough, one of them had a Molotov cocktail, threw it through, set the building on fire. Everyone died. Children were being thrown from the roof. It was quite tragic. You know, it's the Democrat Party in 2021. It's just what they do. It's a natural response to everything, looting and arson. Everybody knows that. Speaking of which, I've got a couple of items I want to share with you having to do with a related topic. Well, the, you know, the big, the macro topic of all of that stuff. But let's, in the meantime, go to the telephone. Senator Ron Johnson, who I like very much. I'm a fan of his. From Wisconsin, he wrote an op-ed, as they call them, in Washington, D.C. newspaper, the Washington Examiner. Not the Post, that awful Dr. Evil rag. It looks like a newspaper, but it's not. No, the Washington Examiner, you see. But before I get there, and Ohio came up with an interesting idea. Let's go to the telephones first. Let's go to William, calling from Osprey, Florida. William, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Hey, William.
Thanks for taking my call.
You betcha.
I was interested in the hearings Capitol Hill yesterday about the white supremacist threat in America. And yeah. Early in April, there was supposed to be a White Lives Matter rallies across the U.S. And I read a couple of articles on it, one on NBC News and one in from Forbes. And both of them said that nobody came out to these White
right.
Lives Matter rallies.
That's
now,
right.
NBC News said they thought the poor showing underscores how the country's unpopular and disorganized extremist movements have been driven underground by increased scrutiny by the media, law enforcement agencies, et cetera. And uh-huh. the first thought I had was, well, maybe nobody showed up there is because there's just not that many white supremacists. Maybe that's the reason. Why do they think they've been driven underground? And if these rallies don't have anybody showing up, perhaps it's because white supremacy is just not that prevalent anymore in the U.S. That's all I wanted to bring up.
Well, you know, you're 100% right, and it's obvious as you know, the nose on Bernie Sanders' face. It is just, it couldn't be more obvious that this whole notion that the main threat to America is white supremacists is the most ridiculous thing I've heard perhaps in my entire lifetime. It's just absurd. You know, they call, for example, the Proud Boys, which the Proud Boys have been banned in Canada now. Canada doesn't have free speech. They don't have a First Amendment. They're not nearly as free as the United States of America. They're America's hat, America's largest national park. But they don't have the freedoms that we have here. They banned the Proud Boys as a terrible racist organization. Now, the head of the Proud Boys is a guy named Enrique Tarrio, who is what the New York Times would call a black Hispanic. Remember, George Zimmerman was a white Hispanic because they wanted to make him white and because they're racists at the New York Times. But Enrique Tarrio is a Cuban-American from Florida who's black, and he's the head of the Proud Boys. I ran into some Proud Boys in Washington. There was some big rally going on, and I was down there, and a group of young guys, and they're just minding their own business, but the one guy kind of, when we were walking by, was with my best girl, completely mellow situation. 8 Proud Boys have been stabbed by leftists in Washington, D.C., in mob violence against the Proud Boys, you know, and their whole thing is they're Western chauvinists, right? Western, that means that this guy, and I just complete my story. The guy with the black and a bit of yellow shirt, Proud Boy, we're walking by, and I kind of looked at him. Guy put up his fist to do a fist bump with me, and I did a little fist bump with him, and he said, the West is the best. And I said, yeah, the West is the best. Now, the guy that did that was a black guy. He's a black guy, and he's one of the Proud Boys. But I keep reading, and the leader of the Proud Boys is Enrique Tarrio. You know, it doesn't sound like you know, Joe Biden, something like that. He's not, you know, he's a black guy whose family is Cuban American, and And I keep hearing these things, that these terrible whites, but you know, my city, Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, was boarded up downtown. Some places are still boarded up because they've gone out of business. But downtown was boarded up for months because we were afraid in Washington that when President Trump won re-election handily on Election Day, that left-wing mobs were going to loot and burn and sack the city because, you know, based on experience, they had been doing that all over the country. Now, we've had riots from coast to coast. We've had thousands of police alone injured, not to mention the citizens, non-police injured. The police are citizens, too, of course. And but the, you know, the non-police people injured and attacked, and, you know, mobs of people attacking Trump supporters on Inauguration Day and the inaugural balls the night before, violently attacked the fourth night of the Republican convention, the South Lawn of the White House. Senator Rand Paul and his wife and a lot of other people were attacked by these violent mobs of Democrats. And, you know, and again, my city, my neighborhood was looted twice. I've got you know, example after example of the violence in Washington, D.C., all perpetrated by lefties, with the single example of about 2 hours on January 6th, where certainly dozens of people engaged in criminal activity and assaulted police and should be held accountable. But I also believe that the people that laid siege to the White House for 3 days should be held accountable. And I don't see any congressional hearings about that. I don't see FBI investigations into the 3 day siege of the White House. I don't see homes in Alaska being raided by the FBI, which happened last week in an effort to get Nancy Pelosi's laptop computer back. They didn't, because the people whose home they raided didn't have Nancy Pelosi's laptop, but they raided their home anyway. I guess, you know, the good news is they didn't shoot their dog or shoot the residents of the house. And all of that. And I just keep looking for examples. Oh, here's Charlottesville. Yeah, that was a bad moment. That was pretty stupid stuff. And I got to tell you another thing. One of the reasons there was a riot on Capitol Hill on January 6th is because there is so much frustration across the country among normal people. Remember normal? Speaking of which, we have Remember Normal shirts and coffee mugs and things at the Chris Plant store. I am catching a lot of grief for it lately for not mentioning the Chris Plant store often enough. But great stuff, Remember Normal. And it's a good idea to remember normal as well. But I've been watching, and we've all been watching. Well, you know, we haven't all been watching because CNN doesn't show it. NBC doesn't show it. The Washington Post doesn't talk about it. Washington Post tells us that these are mostly peaceful efforts and all of this stuff, that for racial justice and their demonstrations. You know, that's what they call them, the riots and all this stuff. So we got these violent riots all over the place for more than a year by left-wing lunatics. And then for 2 hours, people misbehave. And they did, definitely. It was it was a riot, for crying out. The first Republican riot in history. One riot in 300 years versus 300 riots in 1 year from the left, the Democrats. And the news people, the news media, they tell us that this is all, they're there for racial justice. Like somebody's not for racial justice. Somebody's not for social justice. How absurd. You know, these bumper sticker buzzwords that they plant in the limited brains of the American left. Absolutely extraordinary. And you're right. You know, and then they tell us again and again and again that the biggest threat and the biggest problem is white supremacists. And again, I, where are the Republican members of the Senate in this hearing yesterday saying, can you give me some examples of what you're talking about? Because they'll say Charlottesville, and Heather Heyer was killed tragically. The person was charged and tried and convicted of murder. Any questions? Because since that happened, there have been like 12,000 black people murdered across the country, not by the police, mind you. But in crimes, you know, murder, just amazing, amazing stuff. Yeah, so you're right, of course, William. Where's the, first of all, where's the Democrat Party outrage? All the killings and the riots, of all the riots, of all the looting, of all the arson, of the thousands of police injured, of the billions in property damage. Where's the outrage over Jay Danielson being gunned down in Portland because he's a Trump supporter by a non-Trump supporter? And again, that was another suicide attack. We've been watching the violence, and if you pay attention, if you follow Andy Ngo online, for example, and you see all the violence being perpetrated by the left, it's, you know, if a conservative is going to speak, if Ben Shapiro is going to speak, there's political violence. Ben Shapiro is as mainstream as, you know, most members of the Senate. And to say that his presence warrants gang and mob violence against property and people is just completely ridiculous, but we accept it as though it's completely normal because they've made it normal. And honestly, on January 6th, I think frustration boiled over at the notion that, you know, and the left was telling us, and CNN was telling us, and these left-wing movement people were telling us, Black Lives Matter people were telling us, that they have proved that violence works, that violence produces results, that peaceful protest doesn't do it. And that's the lesson of the violence. And I saw that again and again and again, not just online, but from known people, from blue checkmark Twitter people, from people that appear on CNN and MSNBC. I played the audio here time and again, that violence works. And then they keep telling us that white supremacists. They're combing the military looking for white supremacists. Really, white supremacists in the military. That's what we're looking at. You're looking for MS-13 in there, too. You're looking for the Latin Kings in there. You're looking for drug cartels in there. What else are you looking for in there? Man, oh, man. I'm telling you. Yeah. And in the meantime, William, thank you very much for the call and a very good point. And the Attorney General, Chief Law Enforcement Officer of the United States, almost a Supreme Court Justice, thankfully he's not, telling us that white supremacy. And then dim-witted, barely there, Senator Leahy from Vermont, asking the Attorney General if he agrees with himself in what he just said. And that's just fine. That's not a news story, right? And Secretary Mayorkas, who really has become an embarrassment to everyone, also saying, oh, yeah, he agrees. White supremacy, that's the real problem. Okay. I'll start listing the suicide attacks, the mass murders of police officers, the mass injuries of police officers, the riots from coast to coast, the looting, the assaults, and so on. And you tell me that the real problem is white supremacists. Okay. There was that one killing. How many years ago was that in Charlottesville? How many years ago? And then you tell me that police are the real problem and police are racists. And honestly, really, is that right? Yeah. And members of Congress yesterday pointing out that the only people that died on January 6th were Trump supporters. Officer Sicknick died of a stroke the next day. But that to point out the facts on MSNBC leads to the downfall of democracy, a danger to the world. Right. That's what's going on. Truly amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. Also, The Washington Post today. Thanks, William. The Washington Post today has another amazing headline. They've got a picture of people filling up at a gas station, filling up gas cans, the red plastic gas cans, like 2 gallon gas cans, filling the trunk and trunk of the car with gas cans. You know, not hopefully necessary, but panic buying creates gas shortages is the blaring headline. No, panic buying didn't create gas shortages. That's a lie. That's not true. Russian hackers created gas shortages. And the media creates the panic, not panic buying creates gas shortage. No. Pipeline announces restart after anxious drivers throughout Southeast find stations run dry. See, gas stations running dry, that created gas shortages. That is the gas shortage, and it wasn't panic buying. That's just not true. That's not correct, but that's what they write because they're not honest people. And, so and here's what the Washington Post reports on page one. The crisis was man-made. Yeah, because the Russian hackers are men, I guess, but it might be women too. By the first, by the ransomware attack on the systems of Colonial Pipeline that led the company to shut down its pipeline connecting Texas to New Jersey, then by panic that led drivers to fill up out of fear that the country could run out of gas. Well, no, just that their neighborhood gas station is running out of gas. And the news media likes to downplay it. Now, the gas station outages up and down the mostly the East Coast, but Mississippi, 6% of their gas stations out of gas. This is a number, the percentage of gas stations in states that are out of gasoline. In Alabama, 8%. In Florida, 16%. In Georgia, 46% of gas stations out of gas. South Carolina, 48% of gas stations. North Carolina, 69% of gas stations. In Virginia, 52% of gas stations. And the list goes on and on. In Washington, D.C., 15%. And throughout the country, this is, you know, this is serious stuff. And the news media, the Washington Post, of course, wants to downplay it, it because panic buying creates gas shortage. No, that became a factor after word was out that gas stations were running out of gas. The Washington Post doesn't tell the truth. That's they're a Democrat Party press release every day. Hey, are you still going to the post office to mail stuff? Still paying full price for postage? Well, thanks to Stamps.com, you don't have to do that anymore. You can mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer, send letters, ship packages, and pay a lot less of your hard-earned money. With discounted rates from the United States Postal Service and UPS, and a lot more as well, Stamps.com saves businesses thousands of hours and tons of money every year. You just use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere in the world you want to send it. And once your mail's ready, you schedule a pickup or you drop it off yourself. It's that easy. With Stamps.com, you get discounted rates of up to 40% off of post office rates, up to 66% off of UPS shipping rates. Stamps.com is obviously a no-brainer. It saves you time. It saves you money. Very convenient. It's no wonder that nearly 1 million small businesses already use Stamps.com. So stop wasting your time and start saving money. Okay, go to Stamps.com instead of the post office. There's no risk for you with my promotion code PLANT. You get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale with no long-term commitments or contracts. Not for you. You just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone on the top of the homepage, type in PLANT. That's Stamps.com. The promo code is PLANT. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. It is, yeah. The truth is harder to find than ever before because the lies are so easy to find.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
By the way, the gunman who shot three people, including the 4-year-old girl in Times Square, was arrested by the police. You know, those awful racist police. Arrested in Florida. His name is Farrakhan Mohammed. Farrakhan Mohammed. Not a white supremacist, just by the way. But he has been arrested. He was in Florida. How he got there, probably killed somebody and stole a car. Voted for Joe Biden, you know, the usual stuff. Also in the Washington Post today, hiding in the metro section, released early after a murder conviction, D.C. man is charged in new homicide. That's right, Daryl Moore was 16 when he and a gang of young robbers barged into a Northeast Washington home in 1994, terrorized a group of women and children. Women and children, you know. Fatally shooting a teenage girl as she knelt in prayer and wounding her mother and aunt. The aunt and mother wounded, you know. Well, they let him out early parole, then he went and murdered somebody else.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I would like to know, what do the Obama people do with the 21,000 children that they had in custody at the southern border? Have they been turned into Soylent Green? I'd like to know. Yeah, Farrakhan Mohammed arrested in Florida. Not a white supremacist. Not at all. Not at all. Daryl Moore, who committed murder in Washington, D.C., convicted of murder, home invasion, fatally shot a teenage girl as she knelt in prayer, shot her mother and her aunt, went to prison. And liberals decided to be, he was supposed to be in prison until he was 75 or something. They just let him out, and 43 years old. And he's been arrested and charged again with murder, Probably a white supremacist. Definitely not a white supremacist, okay? Not a white supremacist. And by the way, last year, I pointed this out, the Washington Post has not, I did the research myself. Last year, there were more African Americans murdered in the United States of America than there were black Americans killed in the entire Vietnam War. From 1959 to 1975, there were fewer black people killed in the Vietnam War, and it was a war. And last year, there were more than, 6,800 African Americans died of murder in the year 2020. And the crime rate is skyrocketing, a number of homicides skyrocketing, number of shootings skyrocketing. And that's all, you know, that's not really important news, is it? All right, let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Blaze, calling from Bogota, Colombia. Blaze, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Thank you, Mr. Plant, for taking my call. I was listening to your show the morning of the January 6th demonstration, and I recall that you said, because everybody knew this was going to happen, and you said, I'm just going to sit back and watch history unfold, you know? Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening was that history did not unfold. It's been composed. It's been rewritten. Yesterday, we heard the Attorney General talking in under oath before Congress about something that didn't happen, and everybody knows it didn't happen. For the rest of history, everybody's going to believe that five people were killed during an insurrection. There was no insurrection, and as you pointed out many times, nobody was really killed apart from Ashley Babbitt, who was one of the protesters. But this happens all the time. And I'm left to wonder, like, what is the actual role of the media? Look, Mary Mapes, they did a movie about her. They forged documents about President Bush, and yet history's going to remember her as a victim. Anita
Dan Rather.
Hill.
She was Dan Rather's producer on the phony George W. Bush Air National Guard documents.
Yes, and that was actually a forgery of documents. They forged their stuff, and yet she still is the hero of a movie. Anita Hill. They've done movies with her, even though everything that was done that at that time was debunked. And that was just Justice Thomas said, it was a high tech lynching. But nobody's going to remember that. Everybody remembers her as the victim. And this just goes on and on and on. You know, you've had they put the National Guard in Washington, D.C. to protect against a non-existent threat. It's what it really is, I think, a new reconstruction. You know, it's just like the end of the Civil War. Now they're trying to reconstruct from the 4 years of Trump. They want people to be, you know, to suppress people's First Amendment right to peacefully protest or to petition the government. But the real question I have for you, and you know this because you've been in the business many, many years, what is the actual function anymore of the media? Because I don't get it. Because the media today is not reporting the news. Even in the Middle East, it's not reporting the news. Anywhere.
Right.
Nothing
right.
that they report is true.
Yeah, and more and more, nothing they report is true. It's absolutely extraordinary. Now, the lead story in the Washington Post today, Netanyahu vows to widen response. Death toll climbs in Gaza and Israel, but, you know, Gaza is first. And honestly, you read the news, you'd think that Israel is the bad guy in all of this, and you watch CNN and MSNBC, Israel's the bad guy in all of this. You listen to Democrat members of Congress, Israel is the bad guy in all of this. And the role of the news media, as best as I can tell, Blaze, is to represent the interests and the agenda of the Democratic Party and to attack the Republican Party, to attack anybody. If you call yourself a patriot, for example, you're a villain because the Democrat Party burns American flags. They wave Mexican flags, Palestinian flags. They burn Israeli flags. I talk about it all the time, Blaze, and it sounds like you listen, but the most corrupt institution we have in the United States of America today is the American news media, is the fourth estate. And because it is so corrupt, because it is so dishonest, we have a really lopsided political debate in this country. It's impossible to have a fair and balanced, to borrow a phrase, political debate in the United States when you have a news media that is so utterly corrupt. And the coalition that the Democrat Party, I always say that, you know, the Democrats and the news media, but I repeat myself. And honestly, increasingly and almost absolutely at this point, the role of the media is to represent the interests of the Democratic Party and the left. And the left has really taken over the Democratic Party in whole. And the first draft of history, you're talking about how history has been corrupted and is being corrupted. And it's true, they teach the 1619 Project in school. They teach this, the theory that they're peddling, which is entirely racist, to our poor children across the country. And we had the nice lady objecting to it, critical race theory today. But really, the first draft of history is written by, and this, when I was in the news business, it was something you almost said with pride that you got to write the first draft of history. But I didn't do it corruptly. I didn't do it dishonestly. I did it legitimately. I did it, I considered it almost like a priesthood, a duty to be as balanced and complete and, you know, telling the whole truth. I love this Albert Einstein quote that's engraved on the Einstein Memorial on the grounds of the National Academy of Sciences down near the mall in Washington, D.C., where if you are privileged enough to tell the truth, and this is not verbatim, you must tell the whole truth. You must tell the, and you must, it is incumbent upon you to not conceal any part of what you know to be true. And the news media, I say it all the time, one of the most insidious powers the news media has, the most insidious power the news media has, the power to ignore. And it's the news that they don't report very often, selectively, that corrupts their efforts. The first draft of history is written by journalists. And journalists overwhelmingly are not trustworthy anymore, to tell you the truth. The second draft of history is written by academia and, to some extent, the publishing houses. And that, too, has been corrupted. You know, America is not a terrible racist country. America was not founded in 1619. We're not born of slavery. It's not it's not the original sin. It's a sin of humanity. And by the way, most of the slaves were bought not by Americans in Africa, but by Europeans who are evil white devils, blue-eyed devils and all that. But they were buying them from their fellow black Africans who were capturing rival tribesmen and selling them along the coasts. And, you know, this kente cloth is the cloth of a tribe in Western Africa that was very active in the slave trade. And white woke Americans, particularly black people, go around wearing kente cloth when, in fact, it represents in Africa the slave trade. But, you know, set that aside for the time being. The first draft of history is corrupt. The second draft of history in academia is corrupt. We're teaching a corrupt version of history, critical race theory, the 1619 Project. And all of it is anti-American. All of it. Every bit of it is and it's anti-white as well. It's which means it's racist, if I understand the meaning of the word racist. And I believe that I do. I was raised as an anti-racist. My mother was a big Democrat and a liberal, not a leftist, but a liberal in the old school, and a John F. Kennedy liberal. You know, John F. Kennedy would be kicked out of the Democratic Party today. He was shot and killed by a leftist, by the way. His head was blown off by a communist. And the left has been making up excuses and conspiracy theories, by the way, ever since. It's not conservatives making up these conspiracy theories. It's the, wait, a commie did it? So they started inventing, oh, the Cubans, they're commies too. The mafia did it, yada, yada. But honestly, they're not only rewriting American history. And Abraham Lincoln's a bad guy. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson are bad guys. They're stripping their names off of schools. They're tearing down statues. They're all this stuff. They're also rewriting not history, but current events. And they, again, it's what you're talking about here, Blaise. They spin and distort and contort and misrepresent current events. And you're absolutely right to point to some of these things, and I point to them quite frequently, too. I don't mind holding people to account for what they did on Capitol Hill. I'm all in favor of that. You assaulted a police officer? I'm sorry. It's not exactly a conservative value. You're under arrest, and you're going to be held to account for that. The problem is they've created this tornadic lynch mob and unleashed the FBI, every field office save one, pursuing that one riot. What about the three-day siege of the White House? Once again, I mean, it's another big government building. What about the months of siege to the Marco Hatfield Federal Court building in Portland, Oregon? What about the thousands, literally, of police officers injured, hundreds hospitalized, some permanently disabled by the left-wing mobs? How is that just water under the bridge? Just that is, in fact, there's a Washington Post piece today. And they refer to the mostly peaceful protests and the just extraordinary stuff. They say they're racial justice protests. And really? Because they look to me like hundreds of riots where thousands were injured, dozens were killed, businesses were burned and looted and destroyed. Just extraordinary stuff. So, yeah, the news media is, this newspaper, The Washington Post, is offensive on a daily basis on almost every level. And I still get it at my front door. But really, because this is my job. If this were not my job, I certainly wouldn't. I most certainly wouldn't. Blaise, thank you for the call from Bogota, Colombia. I appreciate it. And I appreciate your listening from Bogota, Colombia as well. You know, today, the Washington Post back page of the A section, the government wants to help you with your internet bill. I'm sorry, what? Washington wants to pick up the tab for millions of Americans' internet connections. That may include yours, writes Jeffrey Fowler. The Emergency Broadband Benefit, or EBB, they love an abbreviation for everything, was launched Wednesday, that's yesterday, to help a surprisingly wide range of people hit economically by the coronavirus pandemic. It can pay $50 every month toward the cost of your internet service, and it's available to all families who lost some income in the past year. That's pretty much everybody, and except in the news media, and earn less than, listen, $198,000 a year. With $3.2 billion up for grabs, the EBB is the largest federal program to help with internet bills in three decades Americans have been going online. But there's a catch. You can get the EBB discount on your home internet or a cell phone bill only if you sign up. That's the Washington Post. Pretty amazing stuff. Pretty amazing stuff. All right, let's get to, thanks, Blaise. Let's get to the Jew-hating anti-Semite Democrats, shall we? We've got this. I know I've got it here somewhere, and I, there's so many things I want to get to. But the Democrats, you know, they have this Representative Ilhan Omar. She's a member of Congress, refugee, incredibly ungrateful. I've never witnessed such an ungrateful refugee that was whose life was saved by the United States of America. Representative Ilhan Omar accuses Israel of terrorism following airstrikes on Gaza. Well, you see, Gaza attacked Israel, and then it started at the big mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and all the violence there, a regular feature of the Palestinian thing. Members of the Progressive Squad are coming out to accuse Israel of terrorism, calling for a shift in U.S. policy toward the Jewish state. The tensions on the region reignite, and defense forces respond to Palestinian militants showering hundreds of rockets over Israeli cities, including Jerusalem. And then we got this lunatic lefty who hates America also. And she's just an extremist and a radical and a member of Congress in good standing. Rashida Tlaib. Let's play this soundbite of Rashida Tlaib here. Here's Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib at a rally yesterday. She hates Israel and the Jews.
Our freedom is interconnected with black, brown, indigenous. It is connected.
Oh, race. Oh, wait. I can't believe she's racializing. And they all cheer race.
People is what they continue to do to our black brothers and sisters here. To the immigrant community here, and enough. So I want you to know this. If what? You are marching for freedom of Palestine, please know that you must be marching for everybody's freedom. It is all interconnected.
Yeah, it's all interconnected. You march for freedom. You know, the Palestinian people are free to lay down their arms and live in peace side by side in the freest nation in the Middle East. The most multicultural nation in the Middle East, the only multicultural nation in the Middle East. Representative Ilhan Omar, the Minnesota Democrat, blasted Israel for committing, quote, act of terrorism by launching airstrikes in Gaza. By the way, a major Hamas leader was taken out in an airstrike yesterday. It's a terrorist organization supported by the Democratic Party. Ilhan Omar, the most ungrateful refugee, said Israeli airstrikes are killing civilians in Gaza. Well, they surround themselves with children to use them as human shields in the hope that their dead bodies can be used in photo ops later. They've been doing it for generations. In an act of terrorism, Ilhan Omar says, Palestinians deserve protection, you're right, from their own leadership. Unlike Israel, missile defense programs such as Iron Dome don't exist to protect Palestinian civilians. Well, you know, they should stop attacking the Jews in a genocidal attacks. It's unconscionable to not condemn these attacks on the week of the Eid. All right, yeah, it's the week of the Eid. Then they shouldn't attack their neighbors with rockets given to them by Iran, made with money given to them by Obama and Biden, just by the way. And Rashida Tlaib attacking Israel, Ilhan Omar attacking Israel, Ayanna Pressley attacking Israel, accusing Israel of standing in solidarity. Hamas is a terrorist organization. They're backed by Iran, the number one state sponsor of terror. And, you know, how dare you accuse the people that are being attacked of being terrorists again and again and again. Again, Palestinians lay down their arms. They live in peace. Israelis lay down their arms. There's genocide.
Some people did something.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Well, the Colonial Pipeline people have paid a ransom of nearly $5 million to the Russian commies, so you can expect more of that. Nancy Pelosi having yet another senior moment. Is this today or yesterday, Michael? Just a few minutes ago, Nanny Pelosi on Capitol Hill having a little Faye Dunaway in Chinatown moment.
I told my husband that we had a nice Father's Day.
I'm sorry, what? I told my father, my brother, my husband that we had a nice Father's Day. What?
I told my husband that we had a nice Father's Day.
I think we got clipped there. And she's talking about Mother's Day, right? I mean, that's, isn't that right? Because when did you have a nice Father's Day? Wasn't Mother's Day just last? I want to hear that one more time.
I told my husband that we had a nice Father's Day.
Oh, okay. She's not confused. Did remind us of Faye Dunaway in the motion picture classic Chinatown.
She's my sister. She's my daughter. My sister, my daughter.
I said I want the truth.
She's my sister and my daughter.
Oh, no, maybe it's her brother and her father and her husband. Wait, can you, I guess that's possible. It could be her father and her brother. Could it be her father and her brother?
I told my husband that we had a nice Father's Day.
All right, yeah, it's time to wrap it up, really. I think it's time to fold up the circus tent, Nancy Pelosi and Sander Peckin. Don't you? By the way, in Ohio, the state of Ohio is going to give away $1 million to 5 vaccinated adults. And 5 people will also get a free ride through college, full college scholarships, forgetting the vaccination. It's like a game show now. It really is. It's very much like a game show. I didn't get to the Ron Johnson op-ed, unfortunately, in the Washington Examiner. Getting vaccinated is a personal choice, he writes. The left, you see, they're very upset with him. Senator Ron Johnson, he was afflicted with the COVID out of Wuhan, the city in China. And now he has the antibodies. So he opted to not get the vaccination because he has the antibodies because he had the virus. And the left is very angry with him. They want him to get the vaccination anyway, even though he has the antibodies already because they're crazy.